Well, welcome along, everyone, to a very special Cheltenham Festival. Well, is it a preview? I'm not sure. We're certainly looking ahead to the most important 4 days of National Hunt racing, but we're doing it through the lens of pedigrees and bloodstock. Now, National Hunt breeding is an inexact science, but it doesn't make it any less fascinating. And what Cheltenham gives you is an idea of where the power bases really lie, whether they lie in Ireland, as they traditionally have, in France, as they certainly have in part for the last 10 or 20 years, and whether any British bred horses can really land any kind of meaningful blow, as perhaps they used to do on a more regular basis in the post-war era. I'm joined by an expert panel to discuss all matters to do with National Hunt breeding today. Racing TV presenter Jess Stafford, Racing TV and RTE analyst Jane Mangan, whose family is steeped in National Hunt racing and breeding, and Jane is a successful breeder herself. You will know Victor Connolly from Burgage Stud. They stood Shan Tu extraordinarily successfully for many years until his retirement at Christmas. And now Jukebox Jury, one of the great National Hunt potential sires from the Monge sire line, is going to fly the flag for them chiefly. And of course, Anthony Bromley of High Flyer Bloodstock, who's been responsible for buying some of the most recognizable Cheltenham Festival heroes of recent years, Corto Star and Big Bucks, but so many more, and is uniquely placed perhaps to judge where the power really lies now. Well, I've got to thank Weatherbys for their help in putting all of this together, and I want to divert you to their excellent new stallion website, nhstallions.co.uk, which details over 100 National Hunt and dual purpose stallions standing in Ireland, France, and Britain. And the superb Weatherbys Cheltenham Guide, put together by Paul Ferguson and his team. One of the contributors to that is Jess Stafford, who will be part of the team at Racing TV, showing all 28 races at the Cheltenham Festival live and exclusive. And Jess, you're going to kick us off today.
I am, Nick. Thank you. I'm very much pleased to be part of this podcast today. I'm very much a more of an armchair breeding fan, but a big enthusiast about how important it is in terms of giving us more insight and educating us about these wonderful horses. And I think importantly to start, especially in the context of this Cheltenham Festival, and probably in the words of Beyoncé, who runs the world, that is girls. And it's unusual to be quoting a Beyoncé song in a breeding podcast, but in context of the Cheltenham Festival and in the period we are in terms of highlighting mares in the National Hunt game, I wanted to begin with the fairer sex. Honeysuckle and Epiton obviously leading the way. We have got to a significant milestone with three mares-only events taking centre stage and 2021 marking the first running of the Paddy Power Mares Chase at Cheltenham. And when the development of the mares programme was announced in 2018 by the BHA, the aim was, quite rightly, to one, increase the population of jump mares in Britain, two, to deliver graduated growth in a quality race programme, thus enabling mares to have more opportunities, and three, encourage behavioural change relating to more positive approach to breeding, buying, owning, and training of jump mares. So 3 years on, 2021, one of those three areas has definitely seen significant improvement in that the race programme is such that the opportunity is there. The Paddy Power Mares Chase is top of that list, and as well, the Elite National Hunt Mares Scheme rewards mares receiving an official mark of 130 above. And population-wise, in 2019, the BHA stats revealed that 23% of horses in training were mares. And in 2021, just under 22% of all National Hunt runners are mares or fillies. So looking into the detail of these numbers and going back to the objectives of when we first looked at expanding the mares program, it sort of begs the question, are we going at one rate in terms of improving and building on a race program, but are we lacking in terms of depth where we're coming to these good quality mares? In the UK, there are only 10 mares rated over 145, and in Ireland, there are only 10 mares in the top 100 rated horses.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to start. Who'd like to kick off? Well, perhaps Anthony, you can start us off with how you feel that the BHA and I guess the Irish authorities are progressing in terms of getting the mayor's program together. And is it doing what it's supposed to do? Is it making our racing more competitive?
It's certainly working exceptionally well, I feel, but it does take a few years. when they started putting more black type races for fillies only at every level, from bumpers to mares novice hurdles to straight mares hurdles and mares chases. And it's both Ireland and England have been embracing this over the last 10 to 12 years and increased the number of black type races for mares only. It's got to remember, you know, you're talking about those percentages, 50% of foals bred are fillies. So there is definitely a market for having fillies only races. The fact that you say there are only 10 mares rated above 145 in each country shows that they aren't as good as the geldings, apart from the odd one or two. And I think you know it is competitive racing once they're like for like in their own division. And I think it is important to have championship races for mares, because you still need to find out who the best mares are of the generation. In the Olympics, you just have male and female things, but you still want to know who the champion is. And we are breeding for the future. We are breeding racehorses for the game. We want to know who the best mares were of that generation. And I think this allows this. Now, because I did my sort of quick look through just at Cheltenham and saw there were only six mares at Cheltenham rated above 150, which I thought was a mark which was quite interesting to sort of go from. And obviously there's a heck of a lot more geldings. So I think, and Honeysuckle and Epitonte are in the championship races. Concertista's in the mare's hurdle, but, you know, basically put the kettle on, is probably going to go for the champion chase. She could go for the mare's chase. I think that the options are good that they're there. I don't think it's taken away too much from the Cheltenham Festival championship races. Roxana could go for the stayer's hurdle, but she may go for the mare's. There are options. Yes, it might slightly, there are arguments to say that there's too much, you know, they've got too many choices. But equally, Annie Powell went for the champion hurdle and won it. I don't know. I think it's good that we've got the options for, because you've seen it in the marketplace. People go, are now definitely, as a bloodstock agent, I'm getting far, far more orders for mares than I did 10, 12 years ago. Absolutely. And in the, and at the coalface, mares are making more money. And ultimately, the whole thing is geared to the breeders. They've got to be in business to keep producing our racehorses. And if you're producing 50% of them are fillies, you've got to have a whole system in place. And I think it's working exceptionally well and will only get better. It's the first year of the mare's chase. It's an okay renewal. There isn't a mare in there. Well, I did put the kettle on. She'd be the only one rated over 150. But I think, as I say, I think she'd go for the champion chase. But, you know, they're mostly in the 140s. I think it's a new useful thing for the festival to have.
I think the interesting point Peter Maloney made, he's racing manager to Kenny Alexander, who owns Honeysuckle, and he said that had it not been for this mayor's programme and these championship races, Jane, that the Honeysuckle might not have been bought in the first place and might not have been in training still. You know, she might have had a season and won a couple of bumpers and then been sent to be a broodmare. So there is incentive to get them going.
Yes, and Nick, she might have been more valuable than €9,500 a three-year-old now that she has come along and set the precedent. Look, a couple of things I took from Jess there, 22%, only one-fifth of the horses in training being mares, as Anthony Bromley said there, half the population is mares. So that identifies an opportunity. It identifies a problem, but to me it identifies an opportunity. I think the introduction and the building of the mares races, both sides of the Irish Sea, is integral to not only the marketplace, but the quality of our breeding going forward. You want these mares to be tested. I know I see ourselves here, if we have a good family and, you know, a mare might just be covered without even being tested in training. And I think that's something that we learn from the French. We're going to get onto the French situation a little bit later, but this definitely promotes people putting them in training. The ITBA bonus of $5,000 for bumpers, maiden hurdles and beginners chases is a huge incentive for owners here as well. The percentage of mares rated, as you said, in the top 100, say, in this country, would, to me, I'd be very slow about introducing black type for the sake of introducing black type. Mares races is one thing, but we don't need to dilute the black type program, and we don't need to falsify our pedigrees. That's something that I would take very seriously. And I suppose this podcast is in conjunction with Weatherby's, and they're acutely aware of that as well. And the other thing, and I'm sure Anthony will vouch for this as well, when you buy a mare, and, you know, God forbid, hopefully you'd have a bit of success with it. They hold their value. They have a residual value for resale or for breeding purposes in the future. So I think the introduction of the Mayor's Chase was a gradual progression. We want to have another Dawn Run. We want to have mares that don't just retire after their bumper or hurdle days. And having seen the success of the Mayor's Hurdle, and this year seeing the top two in the market of the Champion Hurdle as two mares, I think it's something that's only going to thrive, and I hope to see that 22% of horses in training being mares flourish in the future.
Victor, do you think it will?
I think it's a great development, because on the flat, they have a very definite program for fillies. Two-year-olds, three-year-olds, older horses has been there forever. And traditionally, jump racing has never been catering for mares. So this program is going to take time. You can't just build up a bank of race mares from zero, which it pretty much is. When we set up, the ITBA set up the bonus scheme back 2013-14, we knew that it wasn't going to happen overnight. People needed to get confidence, needed to believe in it. And for instance, yesterday at Goran Park, the winner of the bumper collects 5,000 as a bonus for winning the mare's bumper. And that's what you're trying to do, encourage people to invest in mares. It makes perfect sense as an owner to buy a brood mare, particularly with a pedigree. If she wins, and if she wins black type, when she's retired from racing, she's worth a lot more, as Apples Jade showed us last December, as a brood mare for her second career. And the best gelding, once they develop a problem, they're just worth sentiment value. And that's the end of it. And this is a great development. People shouldn't expect too much too quickly. A mare's chase is a big move forward. But as more people get involved, the point-to-point sector in Ireland now, they're starting to buy mares because they can sell them. Big, strong mares that win their point-to-point, they have a market in England, and this is all good. There was a mare that was sold at the sales last December, Posh Trish, and if you just chart her history, she was sold as a foal for 1,200, which probably represented a loss. She grew into a nice three-year-old, and she was vendored at 9,500 as a three-year-old. The owner decided to race her if she didn't make 10,000. She won her only point-to-point and was sold to Paul Nichols for £135. She was successful. She got black type, and then she was sold back as a broodmare for 118,000. So this is why owners should look at mares races, buying mares to race. And if you look at the Champion Bumper, the Weatherby's Champion Bumper, you see 2017 and 18, where two mares won that race. And the Champion Hurdle obviously has been discussed. The two favourites are mares. I think it's a great development. And, you know, it's there on the flat. It should be there, and it's going to be there in jumping. It just takes a bit more time.
And for you, would Concertista say running this year in the Mayor's Hurdle, if that's the route that she's going, would you see that as a stepping stone maybe to running in the Champion Hurdle next year?
I don't see why not. You've got to look at the prize money. The Champion Hurdle's a £300,000 race and the Mayor's Hurdle's a £90,000 race. I don't think that's to be, you know, the Mayor's races aren't worth over £100,000, but the Stayers Hurdle, the Champion Hurdle, the Champion Chase, these are all £300,000 races. So we are, you know, if you've got any sort of sense about you, if you think you've got a proper chance, you'll be going for the bigger prizes. And that's what Honeysuckle, you know, Epitante was never even mentioned for the Mayor's Hurdle. I mean, the interesting thing, I was going to see a lot of the public are up in arms about the £7 allowance for mares. Now, there's only a handful of mares even rated 150 and above, it shows that they do need the £7 allowance. It's only like these one or two absolute exceptionals. So, and people want them to be level weights in the Champion Hurdle. They say it's not fair, but actually hold on a minute. There's thousands of mares that do need the allowance all the way through. You can't suddenly change it for a championship race, or can you? What do we think on that?
Well, that's an interesting question, because it's the questions applied on the flat as well. And a huge percentage of the group and grade one races around the world are now being won by fillies and mares, because they're taking on colts and geldings more regularly and are winning more regularly. And I wonder if, Jane, the jumping will follow the flat. If the flat starts to squeeze that allowance down, because there's too great a percentage of group and grade one races being won by fillies and mares in a decade from now, will we do the same jumping? Because more mares will be coming along, and say we had 8 out of 10 champion hurdle winners suddenly become fillies or mares.
Yeah, we probably have to react as things develop. As it stands, I remember watching Honeysuckle cross the line in Leopardstown. That was the first question that was put to me. There is only one Honeysuckle and there is only one Epatant. They're not dime a dozen. And the fact that they're going for the champion and the fact that they were never really considered for the mares is probably because they're getting the allowance. And I think it's an integral part of the whole process. So I think to take away or even reduce the allowance would be to shunt our progression with mares full stop. If we find ourselves in a situation in 10 years time, like flat do with the ARC, where fillies are dominating a particular championship race, then maybe it should be looked at. If you have an Enable that consistently beats the boys in King George's, should she be reduced? Well, that's again an isolated case. Enable is a pretty special mare. So at the moment, I'm very much and very strong on the stance that the allowance should stay as is.
Now, this is a basement level quiz question for pedigree enthusiasts, but it's one that Jess Stafford it'll be tumbling out of her mouth before I even finish it. What links the most recent mare that Jane has been talking about with the mare that Anthony Bromley was talking about in a moment? Enable and Concertista. Jess?
Nathaniel.
She definitely owns shares in that horse.
My favourite horse to talk about. An absolute sensation he has been over in the national hunt scene, really, over the last year. And actually, thanks to Jane, I became really quite obsessed with Nathaniel over this last year, thanks to a conversation we had off the back of last year's festival. In another sort of slight segue, Concertista, obviously being a French bred by Nathaniel, is one of the 23 mares that have won at Cheltenham over the last 10 years. And she's one of 12 that are French bred, which leads to some sort of dismal stats, I suppose, when it comes to where we go and find our mares if we want to go and buy them, if we want more mares in the National Hunt game, where are we sourcing them? And the majority of the last 10 years have been coming from France. So what do we think about this? Do we talk about the dominance of the French at Cheltenham too much? Do we need to take learnings from this? Last year was possibly their best year to date. 14 of the 28 races were won by French breds, 4 of them the championship races. What can we learn and what can there be done to beat them essentially at our biggest festival?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? I think people have thought that the French breds are getting more and more dominant over the last decade or two, Anthony, but is there anything a little bit more nuanced behind that statistic, do you think? Was last year just a particularly good year for French breds?
Right. Well, we were winning all the. I mean, with Paul Nichols and I were involved with winning loads of the Blue Ribbon events in the 2000s with French bred. So it's not a new thing. I think there's a slight different. There's a change in the nuance of it. A lot of the older horses that are in the big championship races this year that are French breds, all were sourced with French form. And I think, but then I looked at all the novice events that are going on for this coming festival for novice hurdles and novice chases. So the up and comers. Now the French breds amongst that lot, pretty much, apart from one or two exceptions. I think the Triumph hurdle I'll just take as a separate. I'll just park the Triumph hurdle because that's a slightly different type of thing. I'll come to that in a minute. But basically, your Supremes and your Albert Bartlett's and your Arcos and this and the other. The French breds mostly have come through by being sourced in France as youngsters and have been sold in Ireland as stores. And the vast majority of those have gone through the point-to-point route. And I think that's the change which has happened in the last 10 to 20 years. That didn't happen before. We were getting the French horses. There was a deeper amount of French form to go for. They were staying in France. They were taking each other on. And you were able to get the cream of that crop. Big Bucks, Masterminded, Corto Star, Long Run, these sort of horses were running in graded races in France when we purchased them. They were beating the best about that were in France. And that was the whole French generation of crop that you were taking each other, that you knew they were the best of. It's now slightly different. And I think that's the change that I've seen in the last certain 5 or 6 years. So many, the Irish store sales are populated, nearly half the catalogue is French bred. So they are, and there aren't that many French bred National Hunt horses. There is nothing like the numbers that are bred in Ireland for National Hunt. So if you're taking a bulk of those every year now out of France, that's weakening the French, the depth of their form, I suspect. So I think there's something in that, that the only profile French horse with form that's high up in the betting for Cheltenham is the Gaillard de Menil in the Ballymore. But the rest of them, the horses like, you know, Energamine,
Envoilin, they all went through point to point. Yeah,
and they were all stores which came through that different route, you see. So Envoilin was the one I just suddenly had a blank about. But that's the change that I think I've seen in the last while. I don't know if that's interesting or not, but
I think it is pretty interesting because it, Victor, presumably what that means is that the Irish particularly, and to a lesser extent the English, but the Irish pool of horses is going to grow yet further, and sort of French breeding is by extension of that might shrink a little bit.
Look, it is a little alarming to see last year's results, but I think everybody has their day. Everybody gets their turn. Hopefully this year, the Irish-English sires will do better. There is something unique about the French breds that I find is something to remark upon, is the fact that when you look through catalogues, you will see such a variety of sire lines. Whereas over here in Ireland particularly, it's largely dominated by the success of Sadler's Wells and alleged, but he's finished now, and of course Monsoon. And we are concentrating, because we breed for the sale ring primarily, we concentrate on what is commercial. Whereas the French give every sire a chance. If you look at some of the sires like Void and Nord, who died as a young horse, and yet he's had three horses rated about 170, Kenboy, Esport Dallin, Defi de Sol, three very good horses. This horse was by Valinor, who stood at about 1,500 or 1,000. He was a son of Lomond, who won the Guineas back in the 1980s, who ended up in Italy. He wasn't a great success. So this sire line is a complete different, I wouldn't say it's an outcross, but they French seem to have a lot of different lines at work where we concentrate on, we're in an inbreeding situation. And is that causing us damage in the long run? I just think the French have great vitality, different sire lines, different vigor, different vibrancy. And every horse seems to get a chance. If a horse covers 20 mares a year, it's not a problem. Over here, that's considered a failure, even before they have runners.
That's very interesting. Jane, you've got yourself recently into a French family, a quite well-established French family. So as a breeder, what's attracting you to that? Or
you know what? It's very interesting, the point that Victor makes. So the mare that myself and my brother invested in was a Saddler Maker mare. So naturally, Saddler Maker is an Irish bred horse stood in France by Saddler's Wells out of an alleged mare. So we have those two prominent bloodlines. Obviously, alleged is basically extinct now following the retirement of Chantu and Flemings First, but it does restrict us in where we go with her. But I don't think there's a right and a wrong way to do it. Obviously, the Irish breeders and the French breeders are both very effective at what they do. You know, we were talking about the dominance of France last year at the Cheltenham Festival. This year, you see the young horses. You see Statler, Shishkin, Monkfish, Appreciated, Bob Ollinger, all the young Irish bred stock that are coming through. Yes, obviously, Sadler's Wells has a dominance and Monson is going to have in the future, but I'm not old enough and I feel like I'm ill-equipped to comment when you have Victor with generations of knowledge. But I remember my dad pulling me aside one time when I was, I was blown away by Cotto Star and Long Run and all these super, super French horses. And actually, Masterminded was around at the time and Big Bucks. And he took me aside and he said, this isn't a new phenomenon. Fortina won the Gold Cup in 1946. You know, he was the, I think he's still the only entire horse to win the Gold Cup, and he was from France. So, yeah, I don't think there's any right way or wrong way, but it does certainly give you options. And the Voix du Nord example, obviously, is an extreme example. I think if he was alive today, he'd be a Dr. Dino at whatever 16 or 18,000 fee. He was a huge loss. But again, we learn every day. And whether there's a right one or a wrong one, stallions come from all angles.
And Ansa, you were buying, as you said, you were buying those kind of Galacticos for Nichols in the early to mid noughties. And just looking at the four best ones, Masterminded by Nikos, wasn't he? Big Bucks by Cadudal, Corto Star by Village Star, who was a very little known stallion, who I think had finished mid div in the arc 1 year. And Neptune Collange by Dom Alco, four very different sires, four different sire lines. I mean, were you ever looking at pedigrees when you were buying these form horses from France? Were there ones that you liked and ones that you didn't like, or were you just going on what you saw on the racetrack?
You're seeing what you don't, it's interesting, you don't go by the sires as much in France. It's just, you know, you only got to look at the current stars that are flying the flag in Britain and Ireland for, you know, policymakers, the sire of Chacun Pour Soi. I mean, he hasn't sired much else. Denim Red is the sire of Energamine. He's just a run-of-the-mill sire. You know, these are, it doesn't matter. Once they've got the form, you're looking at the individual. Yes, you can look at the female pedigree. That's the sort of, these are little bits of the puzzle. But the main center of the picture is the form and the physique of the horse and obviously then all the extra stuff. But it's... commerciability, yeah, there is an angle of that. They don't pour into unproven sires in France. The other factor that they do in France, which I think has always been, it's sort of half mooted about, but not really done over here. Most of these stallions that have done very well raced over jumps themselves in France. Yeah. They're proven jumpers. Yeah. We just don't tend to do that with our English or Irish stuff. We seem to be, if they're run in group races at Royal Ascot, that's grand. Stay in Royal Ascot. Well, hold on a minute. Royal Ascot's run on fast ground virtually every year. So why are we using the Group 1 horses from Royal Ascot as our base sires for jumping? When we actually, the Otoy stallions that have done very well, from Saint-Dessin to Robin Deschamps or way back Cyborg, you know, they raced over jumps at Otoy and were really good jumpers themselves. So if you're putting them to a jump spread mare that's also raced at Otoy in soft ground over 2.5 miles and jumps, surely you're cutting out the probabilities. You're making them in your favour, aren't you, really? Whereas we are going to flat standings all the time in breeding in Britain and in Ireland and thinking it's speeding them up. Well, it will speed them up possibly, but have they got the aptitude to jump in soft ground in the winter? I don't know, you know.
And Bucks Boom is close relation of Big Bucks and is the sire of the Jill Gold Cup winner. So
yeah,
it's all coming full circle. You mentioned Denim Red, the sire of Energumen, also the sire of Under So, of course. And for a horse who basically gets to cover about four mares a year to throw up two champions. And Jane, you and I were talking about this the other day. You do just find the odd sneaky sire that's slipping under the radar that seems to have a ridiculous record, and he's one of them.
Yeah, the thoughts go back to Germany.
Yeah.
Do we remember that sire who stood in the west of Ireland? I think he disappeared to Dubai for a few years and then he came back because he wasn't a wonderful horse to cover. Usually in the national hunt sphere, and it happens with broodmares as well, by the time they prove their worth, they may have passed. But yeah, look, we said it with Voix d'Honneur. There is numerous examples. Now, Victor, you and I, I'm going to pose you a question that is probably put to you every day, if not multiple times in the day. My mare is a bit slow for that horse. He won a St. Ledger. Like, I know the point that Anthony is making, but there is this mindset in this country, anyway, in Ireland, that we need these mile and a half flat horses to speed up. And that is certainly in the mindset over here. I know everybody has their own theories, but it'd be difficult for Jimmy Mangan to race an entire horse and win over 3 miles and try and stand him. I think it'd be a very, very hard push to market. What do you think, Victor?
That is a problem. You need to have a horse that you can sell. And if you remember Stowaway, Ronnie O'Neill bought him and stood him, and for the first probably 6-7 years he sent largely his own mares and some locals, but the horse didn't cover many mares. He was not considered, And then, of course, Western Leader came along and suddenly the horse is covering 300 mares a year, and he's been a great success and a great loss. So there's a man who followed his own conviction, but that's a very lonely road to take. If you stand a horse that is considered not fashionable, not commercial, and he hasn't even had a runner, there's no reason to condemn him, but the market takes a view, and it's a very lonely spot to be in. And I just take the view, in France, every horse is given that chance, and every horse anywhere cannot be condemned until they prove it on the track, good or bad. So we have gone too much into the commercial angle, and we just, I don't know how it can be stopped, because unfortunately the French racing is funded by the tote, and we don't have that advantage. We rely on the government for our, to keep racing going, and the French system, they don't have to breed for the sale ring. So to stand a horse that is not considered fashionable, and what Anthony said is very true, Volgan, who possibly was one of the best sires of all time, he was a small, neat horse that Frank Latham brought from France via England in the 1950s. He was 9 times champion sire, three Aintree Grand National sons won. He won over hurdles, as did Rosalier, over the river, 2 Gold Cup winners he sired. These are all horses who raced over hurdles. Midnight Legend was a good hurdler, but look how long it took for him to be considered. It took him so long to get the credit he deserved because people didn't take the view that a hurdler could be relevant. So now we retire very classy flat horses, and that'll be interesting to see how that all works out.
But you mentioned Midnight Legend again, Victor. You know, the themes keep coming back to the surface, don't they? We talked about Buck's Boom a minute ago and horses who've raced over jumps, or from Jumping Families, sire of Album Photo. Midnight Legend, the sire of Sizing John, winner of the Gold Cup. He himself by Night Nurse, a pretty unlikely source, Anne, of a jumps horse, let alone a jumps stallion, which makes me ask you, is there such a thing as a National Hunt stallion?
Well, I thought I was going to just talk about Rosalia. Is sort of, everyone thinks he's an Irish stallion, and as Victor brought him up there, he won the French champion hurdle, and I always think this is the most wonderful thing. So he was marketed, he's won the French champion hurdle, this grey horse by Misty the Five. And no one actually cottoned on that the French champion hurdle is over 3 mile 1. It's not over 2 miles. The French champion hurdle is three, it's beyond 3 miles. He was a slow jumper at O'Toole. He wasn't even a quick one. But what a sire he was. And the Irish took to him and they loved him. And he was a great sire of staying chases, which is what you wanted. I think there's a lot of plus points for using horses who've jumped on both sides of the pedigree, but it's not the be all and end all. It's not the answer, but it's a answer. And it takes out some of the unknowns if you've got both sides of your pedigree have jumped. So I think it's a no brainer. And the one thing in France is they do race quite a lot of colts at 3 and 4, but then they retire them and they go to stud at 5. They don't go to stud when they're 9 or 10 or something. They've achieved a lot of graded form at O'Toole, and there's a number of young stallions just starting out in their careers at the moment over there, which are being quite well supported. I mean, when we say well supported, that's sort of probably 80 to 100 mares being covered. That's not 300 that are happening in some of the Irish studs, but they are getting well supported and they're going to have some chances. And I think it's interesting that there is a need for French to get some new stallions, because Cap Guard, Saint Day Saints, Marteline, all these, they're all old stallions and all going out of use now. So they do need to get some new young sires. And I think there are some already coming through. No Risk At All is flying. And I've got some other ones bubbling under the surface as well, which we can go into. You know, I don't know if we're going to talk about sires at the end, but it is interesting that, as you say, there isn't an absolute tick every box. This is definitely going to make a jumping start sire, but I think it is something to put in the melting pot.
Well, Victor, maybe I could come to you. You've obviously got an exciting sire in Jukebox Jury. I was going to say he's an exciting young sire. This is a relative concept when you're dealing with National Hunt horses, isn't it?
Yeah, the life cycle is they're 4 years of age before they run, basically, and that's quite a long time. And that's the advantage of the French system. They're starting a year or two earlier, so everything happens much faster. They go to stud earlier, so the cycle is much shorter. it's closer to the flat cycle in a way. But nonetheless, any sire in any code, when they have their first runners, it's one of these fascinating things every year. The first crop sires on the flat, they all start out, they all have their chance, and there's obviously a book made on who's favorite, but they all have a chance. And there's every year or two, there's a horse who comes out of nowhere that does really well that no one suspected. And that keeps everything so level. There are no judges. Everybody has a view, and there's obviously smarter people. But these horses come out of the dark. And that's why, again, I would say it's great when there are many horses allowed to get the chance to produce runners. Because some of the greatest race horses with great pedigrees were terrible failures. And the opposite also happens. So the broader band of sires that you can work from, the better for the long-term health of the business. If we keep going down the road of this inbreeding, which we are compelled to do because it's the only thing that works, we think, the end mightn't be so good. You know, if you look at the Germans, they always had a standard. A horse had to retard a stud that was sound of its wind. They had to have a certain qualification, otherwise they weren't allowed to enter the stud book. And I think that's paid dividends. The French breed now, or the German breed rather, stands up very well. And their investment has paid off. And if you look at the American system where they allow drugs in racing, that's having a very negative effect on their brand. So long-term consequences can come from these decisions. And it's just something to keep in mind. The stallions as well, you mentioned what's required in a stallion. If you look at Deep Run, he was a champion two-year-old. So that's my point. You know, every horse has a chance.
But you were saying about which sires are going to be the ones for this season, for Cheltenham, to bring it back round to Cheltenham as well. And you would have thought that, you know, Stowaway was the top one last year. I imagine he probably could get the most winners again this year with the likes of, you know, Monkfish and Kilcrut and Statler in the Albert Bartlett and possibly even Put the Kettle On. But you've got Jeremy, who's, we all knew when he died, it was such a shame for the breed. For the jumping, because we'd only just cottoned on that he was going to be a great jump sire, and he is proving it now. And appreciate it, obviously, Sir Gerhard, Mr. Fisher, the Glancing Queen. He could have a great festival. And then the French horses, it would be the old boy Saint-Dassant, who probably could do well. Gaillard de Mayneal and Saint Calvados is in there, and a homebred of Simon Isaacs called Fusel Raffles, who's going to run as well. And then No Risk At All, not just Epitante, he could get Alaho and the mayor of Hookup of the Riches could go in the mayor's novice hurdle, so he could easily get three winners. But it's probably what we're trying to see is which sire might pop up that you know that's simmering under. I think a simmering under sire, a French one that might just pop up, Cocorico. I'm quite keen on him, and he's got sort of Cocoa Beach. When the Tiestes and could go for the National Hunt Chase, and he's got Fakiera as well in the Albert Bartlett. But I like Cocorico as a sire, and he's one that's not that known yet, but is doing quite well, and he's not a big famous French name yet. But then See the Moon, we talk about Nathaniel having a good festival last year. See the Moon could equally, not that Kirsten Rausen will thank me for it, but I think he's obviously a hell of a sire, but he's got a couple of proper chances with All Mankind in the Arkle and a horse we bought at the Breeze up for Alan King, Tritonic in the Triumph. So See the Moon could easily pop up with two winners. You know, it's and then you've got Sholokhovy Shishkin and Bob Olinger. So it is interesting. I mean, it isn't just a punter's thing, is it? There is a lot. You scratch the surface of breeding and there's so much and so interconnected stuff between all the countries, and you don't realise, you think that's an Irish stallion, and then you find out actually, you know, he raced in France, he jumped in France, or, you know, but you thought, oh, well, he's been an Irish stallion forever. Like I said, with the old stallion, Rosalia. There's so much more when you scratch the surface to find out about breeding and to tie it on with current horses. That's the thing, is to, you know, not talk about too much in the past, but what's happening in a couple of weeks' time. And it is fascinating, and it will be interesting if the ground stays like it's going. The form book's going to go out the window as well. So perhaps look at sires which have done well at previous festivals on decent ground, because they might not be the ones which have won all the trials in heavy ground all winter.
Well, you mentioned Sholokhov, and Sholokhov's best son is Don Cossack, or has been Don Cossack, who was one of the most impressive Gold Cup winners of recent years. And sometimes, Jane, people will say, well, Sholokhov's record perhaps isn't quite as deep as it ought to be, but what he can do is produce very, very high-class horses on occasion, and horses who have excelled at championship level. And sometimes there are those stallions that come along that do throw up, you know, two or three really very good horses, but perhaps don't have quite the broad base of statistical weight that you really want to see.
Yes, I remember congratulating Walter Connors after the Gold Cup, because of course he went to Germany and sourced Don Cossack as a young horse, and he said that was as obvious an own goal as you could imagine, because that horse was an oil painting, and that was before we became really aware of Sholokhov's prowess. But to be honest, it's Cheltenham isn't like going to Royal Ascot or Epsom. There isn't a dominant Galileo or Dubawi. But basically, I don't want to say that there's a dominance in jumps. I know we're going to ask for stallions to follow, but obviously we discussed the introduction of Monson into Ireland. And I remember when Arcadio was, I think he was the first horse to come over to Arctic Tack, and he was obviously very popular for them. And since then, Getaway has followed to great effect. Maxios we saw last year with Aramax, and now with Calixios. Ocavango's first five-year-olds are on the track, and Vadimos is now there. To be fair, Arctic Tack then did follow suit. They replaced their stalwart with Getaway, who has also first crop five-year-olds this year, got off to a great start. But I'm sure, as Victor will vouch, the sons of Mangeau have really been dominant in recent years. Walk in the Park needs no introduction, as does Jukebox Jury. Getting a Group 1 winner on the flat is no mean feat, never mind over jumps as well. Leading Lightry's first five-year-olds, and of course, Authorised. We talk about sires, we talk about the bloodlines across the top of the pedigree, but I think we do that because we don't have the brain capacity to remember all of the broodmares' pedigrees. But we may as well talk about one that's going to be doubly represented with almost favourites. So the dam of Ellie May and Goshen. Her name is Ride, R-Y-D-E. She obviously bred Monmart, she got Ellie May, and Authorised, she got Goshen. So she has an affiliation with the Mangeau line. And it's something that we ignore probably because we can't always comment on it. It's a little bit like when Champ caught Alaho and Manila, what's his
Indo.
Name?
Indo.
Manila Indo on the line last year. Well, his dam is a sister to Best Mate. So it was in the blood from the other side, if not all King's Theatre. So yeah, I think there isn't a dominance at the moment. I don't know if there ever really was. You get super stallions like Flemingsford, like Shantou, and like Stowaway, but it's at the moment. Can I tell you the next one?
Yeah,
I'd love to be keeping it under my wing and sending all my mares to them, but I don't know.
Go on.
I would be lying. I honestly don't know.
Well, if you're taking a punt now on a stallion that you think is going to be, if not prepotent, because we figure that's impossible when it comes to national hunt racing, at least going to have a say over the next few years.
I honestly think Ocavango is going to be very good. Now, I know I have a vested interest because we probably have stock by him outside in Mares and Bolton, which we do. But it's not often a horse gets a listed winning hurdler as a three-year-old in Great Britain. Langer Dan was after him, and he's had Percy Warner and a couple of impressive horses with bumpers and hurdle winners. So at the moment, you would love for the point-to-point scene to be happening here in Ireland, because you have more knowledge and more material to go on for the 4 and 5 year olds. But at the moment, I think Ocavango is giving all the right signs.
Victor, obviously Jukebox Jury has done very well already and has had significant success at the highest level. On who does he rest his hopes this year?
See, anything you see by Jukebox Jury is coming from the German breds of between 40 and 50 foals a year. So it's a small pool that he's drawing from. Far Class is entered. He's also entered in the Grand National. So I just don't know what will happen there. He's a horse that got injured after winning the his three novice chases, and he's come back from that, which is a good thing because some horses just don't come back. And he was fourth the last day in the handicap chase, the valuable handicap chase at Leopardstown, but I don't think he lost much in defeat. So whether he goes there, I don't know. Warlord for he's with Colin Tizard. Again, I don't know what the plans are there. I don't think Tizard's yard has been in the best of form, and maybe they won't have many runners. He doesn't have many horses to draw from, and we're just in the developmental stage at this point. But the main thing is that his first runner, Fireclass, won the Triumph, and that's the best possible start you can ask for. And the point is that some sire lines like jumping and some don't. And I think one has to try and identify the ones that like it. And obviously, Sadler's Wells alleged they are very, very impressive. Monsoon Line has been very impressive. And there are some sire lines that just don't work. And same thing for Cheltenham with certain sires who don't work well there. They're good sires, but they don't have a good record at Cheltenham. It's a unique track. The undulations, the twisting, turning, the hill at the end. Some sires just do not like it. And they're good sires otherwise. So Jukebox Jury, at the moment, he's only got 2 year-olds. They're the first Irish crop. And it's just work in progress.
So who are the sires that you would be wary of at Cheltenham, Victor? Just on record.
When you say sires that I would like...
No, but you would like less for...
Well, you know, I don't want to identify sires because I'm not in the knocking business, but it's just that, for instance, Be My Native was a good sire, very good sire, but his record at Cheltenham wasn't very good. I mean, he had horses placed, but not so many winners, and yet he was a very good sire, but for some reason, he just didn't excel there, whereas King's Theatre had a great record at Cheltenham. And, you know, several, I think, 15, 16 winners. And if you take a horse like Robin Deschamps, he got 2 super horses in Coup Vega and Vatour when he stood in France. And I think it's fair to say that when he came to Ireland to cover Irish and English mares, that record just seemed to come to an end at that level. He just didn't produce anything of that quality. And it's just an interesting question. Why did that happen? What happened when he got these Irish mares? So some sires, as I say, it's fact that they just don't do well at Cheltenham. And I think it's something that has to be, if you were backing horses, it's something that should be taken into view to be wary of certain sires. And you can see very easily in the stats and which ones have done well there over the years and which ones just keep disappointing.
Okay, Jess, what do the stats tell us right now?
So the stats tell us right now that Stowaway, as Anthony was saying, is the stallion to follow, quite closely followed by Kalanisi. And just to add to Victor's point, a sire that I had noted that hasn't done well, quite surprisingly, despite doing well outside of the Cheltenham Festival, is Getaway. He's a sire that obviously has produced the likes of Vadana Blue, Getaway Trump, Sporting John, and has got Barbados Bucks as one of his main contenders for this year's festival in a race that Paul Nichols and the Alba Barlett has done quite poorly in over the years. In fact, has regularly had runners in the race. So it'll be interesting to see if Getaway can get a winner at the Cheltenham Festival this season, as he's failed to do so. So far. But the stats suggest, if we go back from last season going into this season, it's going to be pretty varied. I predict Stowaway to have another fruitful campaign. As Antti said, Monkfish, Statler, put the kettle on, and he's taken the words out of my mouth, as Jeremy is the sire that I'm very, and sadly he's no longer with us, went far too soon. But the son of Daniel Dancer had 2 seasons at Gary Richards' stud. And those horses are now 6 and 7 years of age, and they're headed by the likes of Appreciate It, Mr. Fisher, Sir Gerhard. And it's going to be a really important festival for Kilbarry Lodge Stud, who stand there only, Jeremy's only son, in success days. So however well Jeremy does this season is going to be very important for success days.
Just concentrating as we round this off, just to sort of put a button on what's going to happen this year as to who's going to do well, who we should look for, perhaps with a view to what Anthony was saying, with conditions changing, horses that might start to do well now, influences for decent ground, what other sires we might look for within the next couple of weeks. Jane, what do you think?
Again, we're always looking to the future. You're always looking for the young horses that are coming through. I'd like to hope that Three Stripe Light will run well in the bumper for Leading Light, a horse that hasn't had many runners yet, could do well. Another Son of Manja. As I said, I think Jetaway is going to be represented in the bumper with Patrick and Willie Mullins' mare. What's her name? Brandy Love in the bumper as well. And the fact that Willie's opted to bring her says enough about her ability.
Now, this is
I hope
the avoidance of confusion. This is Jetaway, not Getaway, right?
Jetaway, yeah. And I want to just go back to Jess there. I hope Getaway does his business, because the big Getaway is carrying our banner. And he has that, of course, in Voilin to overcome, but you can't be frightened of one horse. And I hope the big breakaway for the Pizar team is back on form. No doubt he has a brilliant amount of ability. But yeah, that's coming into the spring. It is true, when the ground changes, some horses excel, some don't. I know Mahler and Stowey in particular, and Fleming's First, loved the muck. But come the spring, it might be a changing of the guard. But that's where I am at the moment.
Victor, do you have anything to add?
I don't, but I would just say that just like the flat sires, you know, you need a second season, which isn't at our disposal, to see if horses train on. Do they take the pressures of racing? And sometimes you see horses make this a very impressive start, and then the horses start losing their way or just fall out of love with the business. And that's part of the business. It's a tough game. And some sires who start off quite impressively, then gaps start appearing where trainers start doubting their will to win. And so the first Jetaway obviously has made a great start, and you'd be very impressed with what he's done. And it's good to see a horse that's come out of the, you know, he was just another sire, and he has made a very impressive start. So again, he's one horse that you'd watch. And Brandy Love obviously is a mare they think plenty of. So that would be interesting.
So we've had a few to watch already. Jetaway, a big year for him. Getaway's been around for a while, but he needs a Cheltenham winner. Anthony's talked about a number of stallions that could do well this year. Stowaway again, sadly we've lost him, but his legacy is very much living on. Cocorico amongst the young sires in France. Jess is Nathaniel's biggest fangirl, but presumably no risk at all as well. And Jeremy's, for that matter.
Yeah, and Jeremy's. Well, I just think that Jeremy is such a loss, and obviously our Connor could have done so many brilliant things. And I think it was a brilliant addition to Gary Richards' stud, but it was such a shame. But we do have some really exciting sons of Jeremy who will like slightly better conditions if we have that come Cheltenham. I'm always looking for a sire that sort of surprises you, and very excited to see how Silver Streak runs again, being by Dark Angel. I just think that's wonderful. If any sire will surprise you, it's seeing Dark Angel running at Cheltenham. So it just goes to show how versatile these horses are at studs. So yeah, it's fascinating.
Thank you, everyone. I think this brings us to a close. So thank you to Weatherby's for supporting this session. Do make sure you visit their nhstallions.co.uk website to find out about all the stallions, dual-purpose stallions, currently standing in Britain, Ireland and France, over 100 of them. And make sure you get yourself a copy of the Weatherby's Cheltenham Guide. A reminder that Racing TV is the only place where you can see all 28 festival races live from Tuesday through Friday. So join us to enjoy all the action. Thanks to Jess, to Jane, to Victor and to Anthony. Bye-bye for now.